Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Hey, it's Charlotte.
It's Jenna.
It's Riley.
And we're back!
We're back! It's the first episode of the season!
Season 2.
Let's party!
And just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy!
Today's trigger warnings are graphic sexual content, violence, and death of family members.
And guess what?
What?
We got another review to read.
Yay!
Yes, we do, baby!
This one is from Brianna, or Brianna. I think it's Brianna. Brianna Bookbish. And it says, can't get enough. I cannot get enough of this podcast. It literally makes my day. I recommend your podcast to everyone with no shame. Your podcast has definitely brought me out of my comfort zone. Your personalities are the best.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We love you.
You sweet little cherub.
And this week's book is A Soul to Keep by Opal Rain. And how many stars did you give it on Goodreads, Jenna?
I gave this book 5 stars. I loved this book.
Me too.
A 5.
You gave it 5?
Yeah, I love this series. I would say that this is my hands down favorite monster series in the entire world forever.
Yes!
I remember starting this podcast in the very beginning and this book being talked about from the very beginning. So it's about damn time.
Anything that Opal Rain writes, I fucking eat up. I love it. Her Witch Slayer series, impeccable.
Opal, we love you.
Yes.
Magnificent.
It was only right that we started season 2 off with a bang. So I'm so excited to start it with this book.
Yes. And we are so excited to have you for this book.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us, Jenna.
Thanks for having me. So the book starts off in early spring. We have Rhea as the main character. She basically has lived alone since the age of 7 because her whole family died by being eaten by 2 demons. But she was the sole survivor. She went to go grab help and 2 other men went to go help her. They went to the cottage and they saw that her family was murdered. And on their way back, those 2 men were also eaten alive by demons. So again, she was the sole survivor. So they called her a harbinger of bad omens. Even though they were terrified of Rhea, they were even more scared of the demons growing stronger by consuming even 1 more human soul. And they thought that because Rhea survived these attacks, that she might be chosen. So they basically pulled a survivor move and kicked her ass off the island and made her live life in a secluded hut all the way in the outpost of town. She was not allowed to speak to anyone, look at anyone. She was only allowed to leave her house at noon, which is like the highest peak of day. When she was getting groceries, she had to put her little basket down on the ground, like push it on the floor. They filled her little basket and then pushed it back to her. And then she was had to go run back home. And she was basically secluded.
Do they think she's like some type of demon because she survived, or?
Her title is a harbinger of bad omens. So they think that she's just tainted.
Essentially like bad luck. Yeah.
Okay. Correct. Yeah.
Because like her whole family was eaten, but she was left alive. And they're like, somehow that's your fault.
You survived and that's wrong.
They're like, something's wrong with her.
Mm-hmm. Witch.
They said it's considered bad luck to kill a human with the title Harbinger of Bad Omens. So she is to be sacrificed to the Dustwalker. The Dustwalkers visit once every decade, and they said that they're going to return her tainted soul back to the Veil. When the Dustwalker comes to visit, they offer up a sacrifice, and he offers up protection to shield the demons from the town. But the sacrifice must be pure and willing.
Willing.
But Rhea, she's fucking angry. By the time that her sacrifice is ready to come, she's just fucking pissed. She calls him the Grim Reaper while she's wearing an ugly ass wedding dress. They like make her wear this. The only thing that I think of is Thera in her wedding dress, like a puffy,
the big puffy one,
ugly ass wedding dress. And like our girl is fuming. Like she's not ready to be sacrificed. She's like, this is fucking bullshit.
Is it like sacrificed in a way to the Duskwalker? So they're like, here, you can have her.
Yeah.
Just take her. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is two other sacrifices this time. There is a redheaded woman named Clove who volunteered and is very interested. They said that Clove has like always been off.
A little nutty.
Yeah.
She's a little DTF. She's like, I've heard about their dicks. I've heard about them. I want to go.
I just want to peek.
Just a little peeky peek. I just want to touch
it. And then there's Darren, who has jet black hair. He's kind of like the hero of the group, and they described him as noble. But when Rhea saw him, she just remembered that instead of putting food in her basket, he threw the food at her. So he's a fucking dickhead.
Just threw tomatoes at her. Tomato, tomato.
Fucking Darren.
What a horrible name, Darren.
Rhea is 20 years old now, so she's been living her poor little secluded life from the age of 7 to 20.
7 to 20? They just send a fucking 7-year-old to an island?
Yeah, and they're like, yep. I fucking hate you.
Bye, you little bad luck bitch. Fend for yourself.
The Dustwalker finally comes walking up, and the first thing that Rhea sees is his blue floating orbs for eyes. He's hella fucking tall, and then his scent hits her. It's a smoky mahogany wood and pine smell.
Okay, slay.
I know. She's like, I feel like a really deep sense of foreboding, and like she's never gonna feel the light of day again. But she's like, he smelled hella good though.
Every time the male main character is described as like a not unpleasant smell, I'm like, she's gonna fuck him.
Mm-hmm,
for sure.
She's like, fuck, you scare the shit out of me, but like you smell so good.
You smell like wood. I love it. You smell woodsy. You smell like an oak tree.
Damn, baby, is that pine?
Is that cedar? Ooh, it's a new wood.
The Duskwalker asked her what her name was, and Rhea's eyes automatically go to the chief of the town when he asked, because normally she's not allowed to talk to anyone or look at anyone. And Dusty here got pissed because he's like, why isn't she answering me? What the fuck? But she was like, no one told me if I'm allowed to look at him, talk to him. Like, I don't know the rules here. Normally they would shun me and put me in a dungeon if I broke any of these rules. So when she didn't answer him, he grabbed her throat and got hella close. And instead of feeling the scaredness that he thought that she was going to feel, she got angry. And he's like, I got really close to her and I was expecting to feel her fear. But instead, all I sent is anger. And it intrigued him because usually the humans are so quick to scent fear. Usually he says when he comes to these offerings and stuff, he has to plug his nose with like mud and dirt and grass and shit to stop the scent of fear from the other villagers, because when he smells fear, it makes him go in like a mindless craze, and then he just gets like bloodlust and hungry and then kills everyone. But with Rhea, he smelled some fear, but not enough to make his eyes turn. When he gets really hungry, his eyes will go from like a cool blue, which means like he's chilling, to like a bright red. And with her, he didn't want to eat her. He didn't get really super hungry from her fear.
He said, oh, I like that.
Oh, girl.
He was taken back when he found out that there was more than one sacrifice this time. He was like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, wait a second.
You tainted? What's up?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're not enough? You're not worth it?
He got close to the other two sacrifices. And last time he got a male, but they always try to kill him. So he was like, nah, I don't want Darren. Fuck that guy. And then got up close to Clove, at first she was like giving him the flirty eyes. But then when he got up close to her, she actually started smelling really strongly of fear. And then his eyes turned red and she was like, oh, fuck no, I'm scared. And he was like, I want to eat this bitch. So he ended up picking Rhea and was like, let's go, baby. Let's hit the road. Skip town.
Let's go, wifey.
I'm trying to get a boo, baby. And Mr. Duskwalker here, he's just looking for a human to be his companion. He's just looking for a little bride, you know?
He's a little lonely.
He is.
He is so lonely.
As they're walking, he asked her if she's a willing sacrifice, and she straight up says, not really, no. They said either sacrifice or the dungeon for the rest of my life. He was displeased, but he was like, well, oh well, we're already walking and I don't want to go to another village to get another sacrifice. And the protection's already placed, so you'll have to do. Plus, you're not really that scared of me, so... As they were walking, they're walking like they're treading through snow and stuff, and Raya couldn't really keep up because she's in a wedding dress. It's snowing. She doesn't have shoes on. So he scooped her up in his arms and she's like freaking out because he's like a big scary dust walker. But at the same time, she's like, oh my God, he's so warm. She's like having this internal monologue of like, I should be freaking out, but he's so warm, I can't help myself.
Ooh. I wouldn't care how scared I was. If it was snowing and I was in a dress with no shoes on and I was not prepared for the cold, I'd say, pick me up, scary man. Hold me.
Right? And then she even, her like monologue, she was like, he's being so considerate. She likes the roughness of his voice and the way he smelled. She's like, I think I could fuck with him. Like, even though he's scary.
He is scary. His face is a skull.
Yeah.
See, how do you kiss that? How do you make out with that? You'll find out.
Oh, baby. Right. Oh.
Just wait.
So she asked him for his name. And like the hopeless romantic he is, he was like, bitch, that made me feel something. Like, whoa, you're interested in me?
The bar is on the floor.
Honestly.
The bar is in hell. Like,
there is no bar.
So he still doesn't really trust her because she asked to be released from the bargain like right away. She's like, listen, we don't gotta do this. And he's like, I don't think you understand. Like, I want to. Sorry.
Yeah, he's like, no, this is it. This is end game, baby.
He finally told Raya his name, Orpheus. And the first time that he heard his name off of her lips, he felt something. And I feel bad. Like, our man, he's just looking for some love. Like, he's looking for some companionship. He's looking for just someone to connect with because he's so lonely. And he bargained with her to say his name one more time because she's just asking questions, like, as they're walking. And then he would tell her how he got his magic because she asked him how he, like, was able to protect the village, because she said that once he tells her how he got his magic, he doesn't think she'll want to say his name ever again. She says his name again, and he wasn't able to tell her how he got his magic because he got hit in the side by an arrow by demon slayers. So demon slayers are humans who hunt demons that are able to get rid of their fear and go undetected by demons because they like shed their scent of fear.
Okay. Have you read any of the other books in the series?
I read the second one when it first came out, but that's the only one that I haven't read anything else after.
I can't remember if it's the third or the fourth book, but the female main character is a demon slayer or an ex-demon slayer, and they force them to get like full hysterectomies in order to become demon slayers so they don't bleed.
Holy shit. Oh,
yeah.
That makes
That's
sense.
That's brutal.
Uh-huh. Crazy. But if they like smell blood, they're like for sure eating you.
Or eating you.
Or eating out. You. Ooh.
So the demon slayer takes Raya and tries to use her as bait to get Orpheus to stop killing his friend, because Orpheus is going to town. He's munching away. And Raya screams Orpheus's name and like it stops him for a second, but then he just gets angry because he's like, you got my bitch. I don't know what you thought was going to happen, but like it's not working. So he kills his friend and then he's going after the guy that had Raya. And at this point, Raya sees him in like his full animalistic form and she's like, oh fuck. Because before he was just like good old tall, lanky, dusty, right? Like dust walker. But now he went straight demon. Like he went to like his demon animalistic form and she's fucking scared. So she just bolts off running. She's like, peace. This is my chance. He's distracted. There's so much going on. I'm leaving. But then she remembers that he says that he loves the chase because it makes him hungry. So she just stops where she is and she's like, either way, I'm going to get caught. So I might as well have a chance to fight. I refuse to die afraid. So I'm going to get fucking angry. So instead of being scared, she's like, let's fucking go.
Let's fight.
Dusty. He catches up to her and he opens up his jaw and like puts her entire head in it. Like he's about to chomp down on her head. She's like, damn, his breath smells good. But I smell blood too.
What?
Like, she's like, he's about to swallow her head. And she's like, his breath smells good. I smell blood, but like, it still smells really good.
It's warm in here.
And then she laughs out loud because she just realized that she's fucking crazy. As she's laughing, it echoes in his mouth. And she grabs the fur on his chest And then he starts like backing away because that distracted him enough to not actually eat her. Because he didn't want to eat her. He was just in like the blood craze.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes were bright red when he was in his little craze. His eyes immediately turned to yellow and he said that she tastes like roses and elderberry. He licks her chest and said, "What the fuck is wrong with me? And why am I turned on by a monster right now?"
Honestly.
Because he like went over her nipple and she's
desperate
like,
times. She doesn't have a basis of comparison though, because she's been alone for like forever.
Yeah.
So true. She's like, I like true. Being touched. It's nice. Yeah. By this skull man.
Rhea finds out that Orpheus was hurt and she tore at her dress and wanted to bandage his wound. Like immediately she's like, I know he's a monster, but like, let me just take care of you. You're hurt. You're bleeding.
You're my man's.
You don't know it yet, but you're going to be mine too. At first he thought that it was for the fear of the demons coming for them at night due to his bleeding. But then he realized that maybe it was just from Rhea actually being worried for him. Orpheus said that he's actively seeking a bride, but no one has been able to give him what he is looking for. So now he's just seeking a companion and not a bride. When she asked what happened to the other sacrifices and the other humans, she found out that some ran away, some died, he ate some. And that's how he's become so compassionate and how he's gotten so much humanity. When the demons and Dustwalkers eat their humans, or humans in general, they gain more humanity each time they eat humans.
Okay.
So that's why, like, Orpheus, the more humans he eats, the more lonely he gets because he's gaining, like, yeah. Homeboy just wants some fucking love.
He's like, I just want to be the big spoon for you. I don't know why everyone's afraid of me.
At this point, I think he even wants to be a little spoon.
He would be the little spoon.
He's just a little guy.
He's like 7 feet tall.
He's baby. I think his dick's 7 feet tall.
Oh my God. Just wait till you see the pictures.
Just wait. I can't wait. Rhea's still like kind of pressing on him. Like, how does one become a bride? Like, I don't understand. And he finally tells her that she must offer up her soul willingly for him to keep.
Like the title of the book. A soul to keep?
Yes.
Oh my God.
He brought her finally to his home. His home is a cute little wooden log hut. She was expecting a cave like normal demons would lay in. She was like, wait, you have a home? Like, this is actually really cute. It has a kitchen with crystals. It's basically like a log cabin. There's a chandelier and rooms and like a bathroom. The bathroom itself, it basically has a big tub with beautiful crystals like lining the whole wall.
What a cutie.
Yeah, and it's like very like serene and beautiful.
He said, I'm very interested in interior design.
For real.
What do you think?
Rhea was like, wow, this is beautiful. And then he's like, I'm glad you love it, boo, because it's bath time. And she says, what?
I'm just picturing this like big giant monster man being like, boo, get in the bath. Stinky. Let me wash you.
So the bath was filled by him slitting his wrist a little bit, and a small incantation caused the tub to fill with warm water. And she's like, ick. That gave her the ick.
Yeah, but I thought you were saying, like, he slit his wrist and, like, fills the bathtub with the fluid from his wrist. A whole bathtub full of blood. Right. He's like, no, this is what we do.
Kind of, but, like, not the whole thing. He, like, slit his wrist, filled it, like, a little bit, and then, like, did, like, a... The whole bathtub fills with water, and it, like, warms. It's weird.
Some, like, wizard shit.
And he gave her some privacy to, you know, strip down, get in the tub. He finally came in, and he poured something in the water that was, like, essential oil. And then he started rubbing her skin down with a gloved hand because he said that he's doing a basically like a protection spell on her to cover the smell of her human scent.
Okay.
But it has to be done by his hand for the incantation to work.
And is that so like he's not tempted or anything?
A little bit of both. He says that he found that most humans are completely repelled by him. Like they're like, this monster is disgusting. Mm-hmm. And that no one really wants them to touch him. So he found that wearing a glove is easier for him to touch them, but he has to do it in order for them to mask the scent, or else other demons will come clawing at his house at night and try to eat the humans. Okay. And Raya's like, boo, I'm butt ass naked in this tub. And he's going over every square inch, like titties. He goes in between her pussy folds, everything. Like he goes from head tattoos.
He's thorough.
He's very thorough. Very thorough.
He said, let me get in those cracks and crevices, girl.
Mm-hmm. So when he uses the glove, he has to do it twice a day. When he gets to her nipples, she says that he's not going to do it to be perverted. She says, it's fine. I doubt he even has a cock. He even has to clean between the cleft of her arse cheeks.
Arse cheeks. She's Australian, cleft. So.
What a word.
He finally was able to answer the question earlier about how he got his magical powers. And he said he got his powers by devouring priests and priestesses who were honestly at the wrong place at the wrong time while he was hunting. Long story short is she is straight up getting Stockholm syndrome right now. He is making her feel safe because he's being honest by answering all of her questions up front. And she's like, mm-hmm. Oh no, like he's answering all of my questions and this is making me feel so safe. Even though he just kind of captured me and like not making me go anywhere and I can't leave the house and I can only go in certain places while he's watching me, but it's fine because he's being honest.
Yeah. Both of their bars are on the floor.
Yeah. And she's never had companionship. So like,
right. I was going to say, she doesn't know what a normal relationship or like what that's supposed to be.
No, poor girl.
Okay, but also he is being very sweet and kind.
I know, we ride for our man Orpheus. Like,
I love Orpheus.
We ride at dawn. Orpheus wakes up by hearing her sneak around the house. He's like, this bitch is really trying to sneak out on me. She had a weapon in her hand, and when he called her out on it, she said that she didn't want to run away.
Then what do you want to do?
She wanted to go outside and see the sunrise. She's like, I could see the sun through the window, and she really just wanted to see the sun. At first he didn't believe her, but then when she said that about the sun he could see from the window, he was like, all right, I see your point. I think you're telling the truth. So he gifted her a protection tiara on her forehead.
A princess.
It's silver and dinky with diamonds, which is actually the cover. She's wearing it on the cover of the book. It's silver and dinky with diamonds and a blue teardrop sapphire down the center. With the gift of the tiara and her fear is almost gone. So like after he gifted that to her, he couldn't smell pretty much any fear on her at all. And Orpheus is like, oh my god,
she likes me.
He's like, this is the one. I can feel it.
Orpheus said that he got the tiara as a gift by an unknown person with a note to give it to a human many, many years ago. The demons who touch it get burned by it. High-ranking demons can touch it not very long, but it still hurts them. It is easier for them to deal with the pain, but it still does hurt them. With the low-ranking demons, they can't even touch Rhea if she's wearing it. She asked how many he's had before her. He ignored her, but internally he said that Rhea was his 19th sacrifice.
But over a span of how many years?
200. Because it was every 10 years.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's fine.
She changed into another wedding dress because that's all that she had in the closet were just wedding dresses from all the other sacrifices. And she told him she wanted different clothes to wear. He said that he didn't have any, but he did have stuff from the garden that he could use for dyes. And she got so excited, she smiled. And his eyes turned from blue to purple. And she's like, I've never seen this color before. Like, I wonder what it is.
He's in love.
He went to go look at the sun and a demon went to charge for her and grabbed her foot, then screamed. And Orpheus ripped the demon's head off. Rhea found that she wasn't scared of Orpheus because she knew he didn't want to hurt her truly. So Rhea asked how he came to have a house, how he came to have a garden. And the person who showed him how to tend to the garden was the one who asked him how to build the house and get the furniture. And Rhea asked who she was, and he ignored her. She asked what happened, and he said, I didn't eat her, if that's what you're thinking. But he won't go into it. Orpheus is at the table making protection charms for the house, and Rhea walks over and she asked if she could make protection charms with him. Our homeboy is over the moon. Obviously, quality time is definitely his love language because he was like taken completely back that Rhea wanted to spend any time with him. He was like, wait, she wants to do this with me? So they make protection charms together, and the first one that she made with him, he put it in his pocket and put it over his bed.
Sweet guy. I love him so much. He's so misunderstood.
He really is. He's being hella nice. He knows how much Rhea loves being in the garden and in the sun, and he offered to make Rhea a chair out of a wooden stump because Rhea's always in the sun eating her breakfast and just spending quality like time outside.
If he wanted to, he would.
Period, boo.
Zach has never made me a chair out of a tree stump.
You know what? Neither has Andrew. I say that we divorce.
Right. Step it the fuck up. up.
Has Greg ever made you a wooden chair?
No, but our bed frame is made out of wood that he made.
that's better than a chair.
Yeah, what the hell?
God damn
it's
it.
Actually like perfect height.
Oh.
Ours is just from RC Willie.
Same. Damn, no, ours is from Ashley Furniture. And it's a little too tall. It's not easy to do that.
Yeah. Get him like a little step stool that like dogs used to get up on the bed.
Hold on, let me get out your steppy stool.
He's like, okay, put one foot up.
Maybe he'll make the step stool.
Oh, there we go. That's even better. That's commitment, okay. Baby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There we go. Make me a little steppy stool.
After he's being hella nice to Rhea in her head, she's like, dude, stop being so nice to me. I still plan on leaving. This fucking bitch.
Rhea.
She's having like moral problems because she's like, all he wants is a companion and a friend, but I don't want to be in another prison like I was.
How, Rhea? You were basically in prison.
I know. That's what she's saying. She wants to like travel the world and like go off and do her thing. But like she's with Orpheus, she can't do all these things because like she's in a demon realm. And if she leaves the house, she'll get eaten. Ugh. She's sitting outside and Orpheus comes up and he's like, would you like some tea? And she's like, yeah, like I'll try it. So he made her tea and it made his eyes go from blue to bright yellow when she had two sips, and she actually really liked it because he says that it's the only thing that he can like really make for himself that he remembers that like the humans taught him. And he was like so happy that he knew how to make it and that she could enjoy something that he did for her.
I'd kill for this man. I'd kill for him.
For him, die for him, anything,
everything in between.
And guess what time it is, ladies? It's bath time.
Ooh.
And bath time is starting to get sexy. It's mild and unsettling, and she's starting to get angry because she's starting to wonder what it looks like under those clothes of his and how far that fur goes. She said that he was ethereal to look at and he had an enchanting lure to him. Tonight, she plans to ask him not to wear gloves. Her plan is, during bath time, she's like, first off, I'm getting attracted to you, but I also am trying to gain your trust, because when he uses his bare hands, his bath time goes from twice a day to once a day, because it's not like on skin on skin. So if she only has to do it once a day, it gives her more time to like try to plan to run away. And when she asked him not to use gloves, his eyes went from blue to yellow, and when she asked what yellow meant, he said yellow means delight.
I feel like she's kind of playing him.
Yeah,
but it's because she's scared of her feelings. She's like, I can't be falling for a sexy monster.
And she is technically like a prisoner, so I guess that's fair, but stop.
Just give in.
Give in. Fuck him.
She will. Don't worry.
It's a little cat and mouse game right now. So bath time, he massaged way more than usual. He said that her skin was softer than any surface he's ever touched. He's never, ever bathed any of his offerings without his gloves because they never asked him to. They were always so terrified of him. She grabbed his hands to examine it, and it caught him off guard because she willingly touched him and was looking at him with curiosity and not disgust. He was filled with such strong desire, stronger than he could ever remember. When he got to her breasts, he flicked her nipple with his thumb.
Oh!
She made a noise of distress, and he smelled her, and then she asked why he just smelled her, and he said he wanted to make sure she wasn't scared. My king's always just making sure our girl is good. He was like, she doesn't smell of fear, and he doesn't really know what it is.
I know what it is.
Hey. He tried tickling the bottom of her feet because usually that makes her laugh during bath time.
What is she, a fucking baby?
he likes listening to her laugh. She wasn't laughing when he tickled her. So he looked up at her. He found her panting, basically with like huge fuck me eyes. Like a girl.
Like a dog.
When he was done, he left her alone in the bathroom and said that she was in there way longer than she's ever been before.
What is she doing in there?
Whacking it.
Rhea was asleep or in like a dream state, and all she saw was Orpheus's skull and eyes. She was in the dark and she didn't know if she was dreaming or not, but his claws were scraping up her body and her nipples got hard, and she wasn't afraid. She was far from it. Rhea was deeply, deeply aroused. His hand cupped her and touched her clit, and he started running his hands through her folds, and she was thinking about how good it felt, and and how it felt almost too good for a dream. And then her eyes flung open and she found Orpheus on top of her in the dark, and he was sniffing around her head.
Wait, and this is not a dream anymore?
No.
All right.
He said that there was a strange scent coming from her, and he's never smelt it coming from her. And then he was sniffing around her, trying to figure out where it was coming from. All the while, homegirl was so turned on so much, and she said that her body was basically begging for a release. His nose was pressed directly up against her clit, and he did like a huge sniff, and his eyes turned a deep purple. He said in a deep, husky voice that he wanted a taste, and she didn't stop him.
He licked all around her inner walls like he wanted to sweep into every crevice to steal her taste. Then she felt pressure. It was a thoughtful sound that came from him as she felt him tonguing something small and thin. Wait, is that my? His tongue pushed hard and broke something, sending a light pinch of pain through her channel.
Her hymen? It was her little hymy-heim.
Her little hymy?
Yeah.
Eep! Rhea squealed, her legs lifted as his tongue, lubricated from his own saliva and the lingering wetness of her orgasm, allowed him to push all the way inside until she felt him hit her cervix and crumble against it. Oh my god. And that was just with his tongue.
Yeah. His tongue is like super, super long.
That's spooky.
It's purple.
Oh.
Yeah. But also, I don't want anything hitting my cervix. I will double over in pain.
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
That sounds painful, but I mean, if Ray is into it.
To each their own. I think you broke my hymen. You're what? I broke you? What? No. You broke my hymen. Like the thing that proves that I've never been touched by a man. I don't understand. You, her cheeks flushed a bright red. You took my virginity with your tongue. Your long ass tongue.
The long ass tongue. All the way to her cervix.
I'm just picturing like Kiss for some reason, the band.
Oh my god.
Oh, 100%.
Where they're like,
that's him. But probably times three.
That is, yeah.
For Halloween, he can just put a little star over one of his eyes.
Oh, right? That'd be so cute. What's that guy's name?
I don't even know.
Isn't it Ozzy Osbourne?
No.
No.
No. I think it's like Gene something.
That sounds somewhat correct. I don't fucking know. Are they the ones that sing that one song that's like, come on? And you know, it's like, dunna, 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 dunna.
That's Ozzy Osbourne.
I, awesome. I. Oh.
Okay, I don't know shit about shit, so forget about it.
After she came, he still wanted more and obviously literally popped her cherry with his tongue. But once Orpheus tasted her blood, his bloodlust took over and his desire helped not killing her. But he was worried that he hurt her because of the blood, and he didn't know what a hymen was, and he was still concerned. She was mad that he didn't know what a hymen was when he asked for someone pure, and he said he meant pure of disease, not pure like a virgin. And she was like, are you kidding? Like, this whole time, everyone thought that you meant pure, like a virgin. He's like, no, I meant pure.
He's like,
disease.
So we've just not been fucking because we thought that's what you wanted.
This whole time, I couldn't fuck anyone. I couldn't look at anyone. I had to be pure shit for you, motherfucker. Like, the fuck?
This is why you have to have clear communication.
It's true.
He's like, I just want my humans to last as long as possible. Like, I don't want no one with polio.
He's like, you can go fuck if you want. Like, I don't care.
Rhea was tripping that she let him eat her out, so she knew she had to go. While he was out in the early morning getting her water, so she decided to bolt. This whole time she was running, she was trying to justify her running, but she knew she was running away because she deep down liked him. She tripped and her amulet fell off, and then she tried to get up and her dagger fell. She realized she was stuck in a spider's web.
I hate this part so much.
The demon spider feeds off of the sourness of Saturn.
Disgusting.
So it literally gets off on sadness because she likes the saltiness of tears.
He's like, oh, I love a sad bitch.
It's like,
delicious.
Cry some more for me.
The spider showed Rhea her mom. Her mom said that if it wasn't for Rhea, they'd still be alive. And she used her nickname, Sweet Pea. And Rhea was like, oh, fuck, this must be my mom if she used my nickname.
Oh, this spider's fucked up.
Yeah. It basically, like, gets the innermost fucked up shit in your mind and uses it against you. And while Rhea showed her entire family, her little brother, her dad, her mom, they were all saying really fucked up shit to her.
Her brother was, like, 3 when he was eaten by a demon. And he's like, Rhea, why didn't you protect pegged me, Rhea. Yeah. Oh my god.
It's fucked up.
While Rhea was having a full-blown Minty Bee, she's at the peak of her sadness and she's having the worst day of her life. She's crying, and just as the spider demon is about to chop her entire head off, Orpheus comes in and saves the day, tackles the spider demon, and attacks it.
Our hero.
And this is when Orpheus's full-blown animalistic form is out. Like, she saw it earlier when he was attacking the demon slayers, but now he's severely attached to Rhea, and she was almost murdered. His animalistic form's out. He has woven legs with long fur covering to his upper torso, while the rest of him is more deer-like fur. He has a tail, bones protruding from his body in sharp angles, fish fins hung from his back, elbows, and back of his calves in tall arches, and his head remains the same that was never changed, with the skull with antlers coming out.
Hot. Sexy.
When Orpheus found her missing, he said the only thing that didn't allow his hunger to win was his memories with her. He said that if it was anyone else, he would have just let them be eaten by the demon spider. But because Rhea wanted to make trinkets, she wanted to make memories with him, and she wanted to spend quality time with him, she let him touch her. He was like, this girl's special, and I'm gonna fucking save that bitch.
Romantic.
But the spider demon, she's a fucking cunt, and she told Orpheus that she could see Rhea's memories and knew that she was always planning to run and leave. And Orpheus got so fucking sad. His eyes got the deepest, darkest blue, and he said that he never felt so lonely.
Stop.
He was having so much self-doubt, and the spider demon showed him every single sacrifice, with the one special sacrifice that was flashing in between all the other sacrifices from his memories. She said that Rhea is no different, so she should just take Rhea so he doesn't have to deal with the guilt of killing her. And he said no, and they fight. And of course, our man kills the bad monster and rips her in half.
Yeah. Squish that spider.
Fuck you.
After Rhea comes to her senses and Orpheus kills the bad demon spider, she's like hysterical. She's still crying over her family. She feels like so fucking dumb and an idiot for running, and his hunger just took over. She said that just as he was about to lunge and eat her, she buries her face into his neck and chest and screams his name as she apologized, and she wouldn't let go of Orpheus and ended up letting him carry her back. It's getting a little bit toxic at this point, Rhea.
It is.
It's getting a little bit toxic.
Honestly, just give the man what he wants.
Love.
And you want it too.
We're almost there.
I can tell.
As they're running home, he's getting followed by two demons because he's bleeding out. And just as they were about to get home, Orpheus falls to the floor and they weren't able to make it into their salt circle protection. So like their little log cabin, on the outside of it, there's a little protection circle, like a salt circle for protection, mm-hmm. that doesn't allow anyone inside the circle that means them harm.
Okay.
So if a demon tries to run up on it, they just bounce right off of it and they can't go in.
And they fell like right outside of it.
Yeah. So Rhea was like frantic with what was happening when Orpheus was able to answer that he was poisoned by the spider demon, and then literally passes out, leaving himself and Rhea unprotected since they're both still out of the salt circle. Rhea didn't give two fucks though. Like, our girl was like, I know I just ran, but you my boo, so I'ma save you. It's literally all her fault anyways. So she got his arm and head over the salt circle, and a demon bird was right behind them. So the demon asked Rhea if Rhea was afraid to die, and Rhea screamed, fuck you, and threw a rock at its face.
Get
hell
it.
Yeah.
This bitch, she's like, I'm not scared at all. Like, I'm gonna protect my boo, and I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah. What else is there to do?
Right?
Nothing. I would shit my pants, honestly, yeah.
And then another demon came at that point and flew right into the circle of protection with a cry, but the other demon stepped right onto Orpheus's body, and Rhea could see he was able to get through where she disturbed the salt circle by dragging his body.
No!
I know. So he knew where to step. Rhea ran for the house, and the protection charms of the house protected her. So, like, the protection charms of the house, the ones that they were making together, like, for quality time. So no one that doesn't live at the house can go in the house. She was there. She remembered that Orpheus was saying that he had a sword in his room. So she ran in. She found his room. So normal, and it smelled like him. And she's just got it so bad. She was like, he's, like, sitting out there bleeding to death. And she's just, like, in his room, like, sniffing his room. She's like,
ooh, Orpheus.
I love him. She grabbed the sword, ran outside, and just as she got outside, she saw the demon biting into Orpheus and taking a chunk out of his side. And she basically went apeshit on his ass, and she committed demon murder.
Hell yeah.
Another demon came close to the salt circle. Rhea was working to get Orpheus out, and she didn't even notice the other demon coming up until it grabbed her around the ankle and yanked as she was still trying to get Orpheus into the house. She swung on the demon, and she knew she had to fight the demon in order to get Orpheus into the house, but the fight didn't last long because as she lunged, she thrusted the sword up into its chest, and it ran away in pain like a little baby back bitch. She was able to get him into the house, onto his bed, and then bathed herself while Orpheus slept. Then she bathed him.
How the tables have turned.
Oh, yeah. She's like, boo, I know you're out of it, but I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to remember it, but I'm going to take care of you.
Does she peek at his weenie?
If she could find it.
What?
It plays a cute little game of peekaboo.
It does. You'll find out. It just hides. It's like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
It's coming in a little bit. It's coming. It's coming, I swear. Once she was done bathing and bandaging Orpheus, she tried to sleep, but the demons kept coming. Orpheus woke with Rhea in his arms after 2 days. Rhea hardly slept. She didn't eat. She didn't have any water because Orpheus wasn't able to go get it for her. But she told Orpheus that she felt safe with him in his arms. She didn't go to sleep in her room because the demons were like clawing at her window and could hear her. So she just slept under Orpheus. He found out that Rhea protected him and he was taken back that she risked her life for him. You know, he's just a hopeless romantic and he just wants some love. And he was like, this is it. This is my boo. He went outside once Rhea fell asleep and found the demon that grabbed Rhea's ankle and killed the motherfucker.
Die.
Then he went to where Rhea was attacked and picked up her amulet. He didn't really want to because she ran last time, but he had to go and get more water because he wanted to spend the rest of the time Rhea was asleep to get the blood off the floor and clean the house so Rhea could wake up to a clean and tidy home.
What a gentleman.
We love a thoughtful king. When Rhea finally woke up, Orpheus heard her crying and asked her what was wrong. She said that she missed her family and finally told Orpheus that what happened and they were murdered and she was a harbinger of bad omens. And Orpheus was like, that's not true. That's not a real thing. They didn't kill you because you're a harbinger of bad omens. You just probably didn't have too much fear. He asked her what she was doing and she just said that she plugged her ears and closed her eyes in a corner and just waited till the whole thing was over. And he was like, they were overcome with bloodlust. If they didn't sense your fear and they didn't hear you, they probably didn't even notice you were there.
Yeah, he's like, very logical reason for this.
Right? Orpheus said he had to wash her to cover her with scent, and Rhea was still really tired and asked if he would wait just to lay with her and mask her scent, and he was so happy and so hopeful as he climbed next to her and just snuggled with her.
He's just a little snuggle bug.
He is.
He's just a guy that loves his gal.
Rhea woke up to Orpheus very slowly and calmly brushing her hair out with his claws to detangle her hair.
Mm.
I know. And she was getting wet. She was like, this is making me really fucking horny that he's taking care of me. He was so gentle and just being so attentive to her. She was getting fucking horny. And then came bath time. As he got to her breast, lathering the protection oil, she was panting and practically begging.
The panting.
When he got to her pussy, she grabbed his hands to still them. And she said, I can't do this. And looked up to Orpheus to see his eyes purple. When she asked what the purple eyes meant. And she said that it's often when she's either being bathed and when she smiles and the one time when he ate her out.
What could it mean?
What does it mean?
When she asked if purple eyes meant he desired her, at first he didn't want to answer because he didn't want to scare her off. But then he said yes. And she told him she was horny as fuck.
She said, let's do it.
Let's just say at this point, some dirty, dirty talk happens here and Rhea is all for it. Orpheus says some dirty, nasty stuff and Rhea's like quivering. She asks Orpheus if he has a cock and Orpheus says yes. And if it was hungry and our girl went feral, he was fingering her and major dirty talk happening. Rhea asked if his cock was like humans and he said, not at all.
He said, wait till you see this bitch.
For real. She came so violently hard. She was like seeing stars and like was in over Jupiter, Pluto, every single planet in the solar system.
Is his cock purple like his tongue? I'm a damn pervert.
a good-for-nothing pervert that wants to fuck a big, hot, sexy bonehead.
Bonehead. Literally a bonehead. Head's made of bones. No flesh.
Literally is a bone.
Orpheus said only when he melted her heart that he will give it to her, though. That's what he'll, that's when he'll take her down.
Give it to her.
Rhea asked if he could go hunting for her because she missed meat.
Oh, she misses meat, huh?
Mm-hmm. They spent more love language quality time together by Rhea teaching Orpheus how to make soup. Rhea asked if the woman who made such an impact on Orpheus's life before, who she was, and Rhea asked what happened to her, and all she said that was that she didn't want to stay with him. He didn't go into any more detail about that besides the fact that she left him. Fucking bitch.
She's that's the worst. Some trauma for him, I can tell.
It is.
As it was raining, Orpheus let her sit on the porch with her amulet and sword as he watched guard of her, because like when it rains, the salt circle melts down, so he has to like watch guard. And the house as she was eating her soup, and she was swooning, watching her monster man protect her with red eyes in his animalistic form. Rhea found herself so happy. As she was thinking about getting dicked down by Orpheus, Rhea saw the witch owl, described as part demon, part other. The one Orpheus believed who left the amulet and said that he doesn't believe to wish Rhea any harm, but not to approach her as he doesn't know what will happen. All that he knows is that the witch owl wants him to be with a human. She does all these nice things for Orpheus, but he doesn't really know what she wants in return, if there is anything that she wants in return. It stormed overnight, and the next morning, Orpheus grabbed her and brought her outside, and there were even more fruits and vegetables that he said the witch owl planted for her overnight with magic. Before going back into the house, another Mavka, which is, Orpheus said that the demon's term for like a dust walker is what they call a Mavka. He looked more animalistic, and that's because they take the shape of the animal that they ate. So Orpheus looks like an antelope skull because he ate an antelope when he first became a dust walker.
Okay.
The Mavka wanted a companion too, and Orpheus knew what it was like to be lonely, so he agreed to help. As the days go on, Rhea found herself thinking of Orpheus when she wasn't with him, and after dinner, getting excited for bath time. At bath time, whenever Rhea wanted to, she allowed him to let her come. Everything was always in her control, and Rhea couldn't help herself for having feelings for Orpheus. Basically, she was like, if I want to come, I'm gonna let him make me come.
I'm gonna let him touch me.
She found out the mystery woman is the one who named Orpheus and lived with him for a couple of years. How many years, she's not sure, because he still hasn't told her much about her. He told her about the demon town in the Vale and told Rhea that he would possibly take her there. He's been talking about it and thinking about it, but it's really risky. But she was super excited. Then all of a sudden, Orpheus's eyes turn red and he goes, why do I smell blood? And Rhea feels blood in between her legs and she says, okay, we have a big fucking problem.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Her period.
Rhea gets her period, and Orpheus obviously goes into bloodlust. So he keeps her in the house and he shuns himself outside to, you know, man the house and make sure that no other demons come out. But Rhea is still bleeding, and Orpheus left her by herself and in pain for about 4 days. And he was just outside in the salt circle. He was just standing guard when Rhea noticed that he was torturing himself by gashing his own back and making himself bleed. And she opens the door and she's like, Orpheus, stop! And he turns and he's like, get inside!
He's like, I'm gonna fucking eat you! Go!
She's like, oh fuck, I done fucked up. And then that night, Rhea woke up in the middle of the night to Orpheus with big red eyes over her, and she knew she was in danger, but she didn't care because she missed her man. She's like, I am probably about to die, but I don't care because I miss him so much.
He really is gonna eat that pussy.
So she's like, am I about to die, Orpheus? And he says, yes. But she didn't believe him. She said, at least if he eats her, it will stop the pain. And Orpheus says, oh, back the fuck up. You're in pain, boo?
As he's about to eat her alive.
He's like, wait. You have a tummy ache? What hurts?
Because Arbu, he's just so caring and loving. He's like, wait, you didn't tell me you were in pain.
Do you need some acetaminophen? A glass of water? Some Pamprin?
My doll? Orpheus stopped opening his jaw and asked why she was in pain. And he was so worried. And they talked about periods. And Rhea told him that his warmth is actually really helping her cramps, and asked if he could just stay instead. She knew it was not a good idea, that he probably would still eat her, but she just really, really needed needed it. So he agreed to stay. He's having like a warm compress on her back and she's tickling his back and his eyes keep turning to purple. And Rhea's like, I don't know if I'm imagining this or if it's just happening. So she goes a little bit more sensual and deeper. And then she realizes that she's turning him on. So then she gets turned on. Then she reached up and pressed her lips on his snout and kissed snout. Him. He ain't got no lips, boo. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say. On his skull.
On his lipless mouth. Mmm. Tasty.
His bones.
And he was shell-shocked. He was like, did she just kiss me? So she nuzzled and she kissed his neck. And she was just exploring and roaming his body. And it was turning her on. So she started bumping and grinding on Orpheus. She was disappointed when her pelvis bumped on his and she didn't feel anything. So he said he had a demon cock. So where is it? She's been by herself for 13 years. So she has no filter. So in the heat of the moment, she just straight up asks Orpheus. She's like, well, where's your cock? And he just says that it's hidden inside. And she says, can you show me where? And she felt a seam that had a hard bulge.
Ah! A seam. I hate that.
It was moving. It opened up. And she said it wasn't pointy, but it wasn't round. And it was kind of like swirly with four edges, like a rosebud that has yet to bloom. And at that point, she noticed that he was like visibly shaking, holding back, almost like he was in pain. And it wasn't until she said that she wanted to touch him, like verbally gave her consent that she wanted this, that she really wanted to see his cock, that he finally let go of his control.
Let go, Orpheus. I want to touch you here. I want to pleasure you. His body released all its tension, a deep huff falling from him so hard that his jaw opened to release it. If she hadn't still been trying to hold his cock, she would have missed the confusing action that happened next. The spiral released and something shot through the center of it. His cock slipped over her palm, hot and wet with its own lubricant, rubbing up her arm until it touched near her elbow. The spiral had released to show that it had actually been holding his cock back as tentacle-like limbs writhed around her fingers where she'd been trying to hold him. She tried to yank her hand back in shock, but one of them latched onto her hand and held her down before a second wound over her wrist.
I'm sorry, what? So I have a picture of a Duskwalker dick, and I'm going to text it to Riley in the group chat, and she's going to give us her first thoughts just looking at it. Are you ready?
I'm scared.
You should be.
I'm so excited.
I am ready.
Just remember, this man is 7 feet tall.
I mean, it said it wrapped around her arm.
Oh, Daddy Orpheus. Stop. Not the cum shot coming out of it.
I was like, oh, that is moist.
Rhea's a size queen, dude.
That looks like it would injure her.
It will.
Oh my god. It looks like an alien. Or it kind of reminds me of the Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
Oh, a little yeah, bit. Kinda.
That's, I'm kind of getting like those vibes. And now I'm getting like a really good look at him.
Do you like him?
I just like, he's so scary. Like,
he is very scary.
Yeah, but like he's so charming.
He is, I know, charming.
He's so sweet. It's all about personality, babes. All about personality.
That's a dick, though. That is a dick.
All Rhea was thinking about was how bad she wanted to get dick down.
After she saw it.
Yeah.
I would see that and be like, okay, never mind.
I'd be like, oh no, now you're going to smell fear. You're going to start smelling it.
The spiral unfolded to tentacle-like limbs that writhed around her hand and fingers that were about 4 inches long each. So those little tentacles are like little mini dicks.
Yeah, Jesus.
I wonder if they like stroke the clit at the same time though, like that. Sign me up.
If they do some work on
and
their
one
own.
Like start the clit, one in the booty, like okay.
That, I'm like 99% sure that that does happen in the series.
One in the pink, one in the stink.
Hey. So she was thinking about how bad she wanted to get dicked down. Rhea was giving him a good old handy until he came all over her. It was the first time that he's come in eons.
Eons. How long is an eon?
1 billion years.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
I think he's exaggerating.
He doesn't whack it on his own? I don't think so.
I guess not, because they said that was the first time that he's came in eons.
Poor guy.
So she asked O if, I gave him a little nickname. She asked O if she could have some bells and beads from the drawer. And when he asked why, she said that she wanted to make him something like a bracelet or a charm. And he was so touched that his eyes turned to pink. And Raya was like, hold up, pause, skirt. I've never seen that color. Like, what does it mean? And he was like, I don't know. I've never seen it before either.
Lava!
So Orpheus left to finally go get her meat because the day before he tested her and he brought a demon into the salt circle and he was like, kill it. And she's like, okay. And that was like his little test. She didn't know it, but he was like, now that I know that you can defend yourself, I feel okay leaving to go get you meat. So he left to go get her meat and she was having another internal battle on whether or not to run. And she chalked it up to that she would leave when she would become a better swordswoman. But really, it was always followed by an intimate or emotional thought about Orpheus.
She doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
You're not fucking leaving.
The next day, Orpheus still isn't back, and Rhea's outside training with her sword in the garden when a humanoid demon comes up to the salt circle and begins to taunt her, saying she'd like to taste her intestines. So the demon is female. Rhea just rolls her eyes and uses her sword to cut the demon's head off. And at first, she's proud of herself, but then she's like, oh, fuck, the blood's dripping over the salt circle and is going to attract more demons. She runs inside to grab more salt, but the demon's blood is leaking so much, she knows she has to move the body, and she steps out of the circle and quickly pulls the body away. And as soon as she gets back to the inside of the salt circle, she's approached by the fox skull Mavka. So the other Mavka has a fox skull.
Okay.
And he walks right through the salt circle and tells her he knows Orpheus is gone, but he's been watching her, and he warns her not to run because he doesn't want to harm her. She points her sword at him, and he asks her why she doesn't put it down, and she says because she doesn't trust him, and he's like, why? You trust Mavka, and you live with one, and she says, no, I trust only Orpheus, and he's like, who the fuck is Orpheus?
He's like, I've never heard that fucking name ever.
She tells him that's what the Mavka who lives here is called, and a name is something special to be called, because he's like, what is a name? He immediately is like, I want a name. How do I get one? She says, someone gives it to you, and he asks her to name him, but she's like, no, she's not the right person to give him a name, and he politely asks to speak with her about how to obtain a human for his own. She says she trusts Orpheus and isn't afraid of him, and then the Mavka says that he wants to take Rhea. He's like, you're not afraid of me. You can just come home with me. I won't tell Orpheus. Just be my friend.
Yeah, just come.
Come on.
He's like, it'll work out.
Yeah.
Orpheus won't care.
Since Orpheus doesn't have her soul, she technically doesn't belong to him, but she says, no, absolutely not. She's loyal. Loyal girl.
We love a loyal queen.
Loyal queen. He tries to reach out to touch her, but she smacks him away and says no. And he says that Orpheus told him that when humans say no, they are to respect that. So Orpheus is going around preaching the word of consent to the other Duskwalkers.
Yes, he is.
We love our man.
We do.
He's a good guy.
He tells her that Orpheus told him he needs to eat more humans to get less stupid so he can obtain his own human. And he says he's going to stay until Orpheus comes back so he can talk to him about all of this. And Rhea's like, no, don't stay. Orpheus is going to be fucking pissed if he comes back and he finds you here with me. And then she's dive bombed by a flying demon. So the salt circle will protect demons from like walking past it, but the flying ones can still dive bomb from the sky.
Okay.
She runs to the porch, but it grabs her by the arm and starts to lift her into the air, but the Mavka knocks it back and begins to attack it, protecting her. The fight is brutal, but the Mavka wins, beheading the demon, and then he turns on Rhea with his eyes red with bloodlust, and she runs into the house where the protective trinkets will protect her. He bashes his head against the barrier, and she grabs another sword and waits inside the house until the thrashing stops. She slowly opens the door, and his eyes are blue with sadness. He's feeling guilty.
Oh.
He's like, I'm so sorry. She tells him that she can't come outside to help him, but he can stay inside the salt circle until he heals so he's not attacked by more demons, and the Mavka is deeply grateful. She thanks him for saving her, and he apologizes for turning on her, and she's like, it's fine, Orpheus has tried to eat me multiple times, and he's like, what the fuck?
Come again?
He's like, and you're here, why?
Yeah.
Why are you still here?
And why won't you come with me?
I won't try to eat you.
He's like, just did.
Right now.
Besides this one time. The Mavka gets up and throws the demon carcass out of the salt circle, and Rhea cleans up the blood that's on the inside of the barrier of the trinkets, and the Mavka tells her he can smell Orpheus approaching, and Rhea hopes that she can keep him calm when he shows up. She goes out to the yard to meet him, and he can smell demon blood and another Mavka. He sees the Mavka and grabs Rhea protectively by her hurt arm from the demon, grabbing her, and wants to know what's going on. And he shifts into his beastly form and begins to attack the Mavka, telling him that he'll shatter his skull. Rhea steps in between them, trying to get Orpheus to stop because the other Mavka is already injured and weak. She quickly explains what happened and that he saved her life and she'd be dead if he hadn't shown up. She tells Orpheus she'll be really upset with him if he hurts the Mavka, so Orpheus lets him go. So basically, he'll do literally whatever Rhea tells him to do. If she's like, don't do this,
pussy,
he's like,
okay. Pussy whip.
Yeah. And he hasn't even gotten the pussy yet.
Titty whip.
I mean, a little bit. Got a kind little of, lick. A
little taste. She begins to tend to the Mavka's wounds, and Orpheus's orbs flash green with jealousy, and he catches the other Mavka's orbs flash yellow with joy. So the other Mavka's like, hey, 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 and he's getting like pissed. So he's like, Rhea, actually, I'm pretty hurt too, because I went out and I got you some honey from a beehive and they stung me all over. So I actually, I need your help,
help me.
Too.
Help me.
She tends to his wounds, and he's feeling really smug and licks her jaw, and the other Mavka's orbs turn green. Orpheus tells her that he got her a deer too, and she says that she'll take some meat from it and the Mavka can share the rest of the carcass. The fox skull Mavka is grateful and asks Orpheus if he'd be able to take him to the demon village so he can get supplies to build his own hut for his very own human. And the way the veil is set up, it seems almost like a crater, so that way the sun can't come through it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that way the demons can walk freely. And then on the outside of the veil is all of the more bloodthirsty demons that are less humanoid, and then they travel mm-hmm. outside of the veil and they catch all the humans. But as you go further in, there's like an entire city of demons that are more okay. humanoid, and they don't need to eat humans, and they're basically okay. just like humans with like some weird features. Okay. But they're super yeah. smart, and they have their own society and a city and a king. It's wild.
Wow.
They describe it as basically like the more, how I said, like the more humans they consume, the more, I guess, humanoid they get. And so mm-hmm. the older demons, since they consumed more humans, they started getting like more conscious thoughts. And so they built basically like a whole city, like a demon town. And mm-hmm. they have little shops where they can trade clothes. They trade spices and materials like metals. That's where Orpheus got a bunch of his pots for the kitchen and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Cute.
They've gone into it like a little bit more throughout the series. I think there's another book or two still that she's going to be writing in the series, but I really hope she goes more into the demon town because it seems really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's even a library in it.
They do have a library. The lore. Yeah. I don't know why, but this world building reminds me of Courage the Cowardly Dog. Just like that really? Whole world. I'm just picturing yeah. Courage the Cowardly Dog in the little house in the middle of nowhere. That's where they live in my head.
That's now what I'm going to picture.
Orpheus says no because he doesn't want to leave Rhea that long, and he doesn't trust her to stay, and it's too dangerous for her to go to the demon village. And Rhea gets pissed and runs to her room, slamming the door. And I got kind of annoyed at this part because, like, bitch, you already ran away from him one time, and he hints that you would probably leave if he was gone for like 2 weeks, and you're like, why would you say that?
Yeah, I know. Because you would, bitch.
And he literally, like, right before he left to go get her meat, she was like, I'm thinking about leaving.
Yeah. Like, but she's like, how could you think that about me? She gives him the silent treatment all night, and the next morning he's super sad and asks what he did wrong. She says that she's pissed off that he doesn't trust her. He has every reason not to trust her.
You've shown him that he cannot trust you. Yeah. What kind of game are you playing? Why are you gaslighting this man?
She is kind of gaslighting him.
Yeah, she's like, I never ran away. I would never do that.
And you know that. And he's like, I know you wouldn't stay in the house. It's a 4-day walk to the village, so we'd be gone a really long time. Even if we brought food into the house for you, it would rot before they got back. And she's like, oh shit, you're right. That makes sense.
Dumb girl.
She says she just wants him to help the Mavka, and Orpheus gets jealous and accuses her of wanting to leave him to be with the other guy. And she's like, no, of course not. She doesn't want anyone but Orpheus. She convinces him to have sympathy for the Mavka because she knows he doesn't want him to lose a potential companion because he doesn't have the things he needs that he could get from the demon village, and says that she could go with them. So she's like, how sad would you be if you wanted a human so badly and you brought them back to a fucking cave and they didn't want to stay with you when you could have built yourself a nice house? Orpheus is like, okay, you have a point, I guess.
She's teaching him.
Orpheus says no, and she demands to know when she is allowed to go, and he says when she is his bride and gives him her soul. And she says she never agreed to do any of that, and he says that he will only bring her when she cannot leave him.
He leaned forward, digging his claws into the counter. His tongue darted out to lick at the fangs of his snout, his cock stiffening behind his seam, and his tentacles had to clasp it tightly to stop it from extruding. I yearned for it, my little doe. My little doe.
I know.
Stop, Orpheus.
Stop it.
he hungered for it more than he did her body. The first step was being inside her. To have her accept him willingly and achingly into her body. For her cunt to sheath his cock in its warmth, its wetness, to fill every inch of her until she could take no more. And then still give it to her. Her cunt to sheath his cock.
Yeah.
Give it a little robe.
It's a little pocket.
Wow. Warm. She tells him that if he doesn't help the Mavka, she'll never give herself to him because she'd never be with someone so selfish and cruel. He caves and decides the least dangerous thing is for her to come with them. They dress Rhea in one of Orpheus's black cloaks after giving her one of the protection charm baths and grab some supplies for their long journey. The other Mavka swore to protect Rhea at all costs, so Orpheus feels a little bit better about the situation. She has to wear the skull of the deer that Orpheus brought back from hunting to pretend to be another Mavka. So she just has little deer skull on her head and she's wearing a little black cloak just walking around. Like the little kids on each other's shoulders trying to get into an R-rated movie.
But she's like way smaller than them, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like 5'6" or something and they're 7 feet tall.
She's like a little baby Mavka.
She is. She has to ride on his back underneath his cloak so they can run at full speed, and Orpheus is super into this because of how close they are, and it makes his tentacles twitch just thinking about being inside of her.
Behind his little seam.
Yeah.
Your favorite word.
I know, we haven't had seam before. Do you hate it?
I don't enjoy it.
They travel nonstop for 3 days, and by the third night, they make it to the border of the village and decide to rest. Orpheus tells her he needs to give her a bath in the nearby stream and sends the other Mavka off so he won't see her naked. As he's rubbing the oil between her thighs, they both start to get all horned up, and she tells him that she's had naughty dreams about him before. He asks if he makes her come in her dreams, and she nods her head. He asks if he uses his hands or his tongue, and she says both, and he can smell her arousal. I know. She asks if he wants to touch her, and of course he does. So he begins to lick her breasts and play with her clit, and Rhea is hella soaked.
Of course she is.
Girl is a super soaker.
Of course she is. She felt slippery, but he knew the water would erase it in time. He removed his hand to dip his fingers into the oil before bringing his hand back under the water and pressing two inside her. She stretched around them with a moan, her back arching. He pumped them, staring up at her as she bit her bottom lip while he played with her breast and her quivering insides. Her textured pussy was beckoning him with its little pulses and spasming clenches. It was perfect. He wanted it. His cock ached for it. Her textured pussy.
Yeah, that threw me off. That threw me off.
He said, what is this texture?
Has ridges.
I wonder if he like trims one hand of his nails.
I don't know. Can he like sheath?
Can
he sheath his claws? I don't know.
I haven't read anything about him sheathing claws.
Maybe she's just got like a really tough pussy.
Ow! Well, her pussy's definitely about to be textured, that's for sure.
I know. Right? Just like ripping her to shreds.
She's just internally bleeding.
Yeah.
She's like, I love it.
He really wants to fuck her, but he knows that he can't because even if she wanted to, he'd lose all his senses being inside of her and it wouldn't be safe in the forest. Because remember, they're still like in Demon Town.
Yes.
Just camping.
Placing his thumb against her needy clit that he discovered she adored him petting. The momentum of his fingers moving in and out of her channel rubbed it. And he tried to go in a circle at the same time to stroke her everywhere. Needy little clit.
She moans and he tells her she needs to be quiet. She uses her hand to cover her mouth, but she's still hella loud, so he shoves his tongue down her throat to keep her quiet. Because remember, his tongue is like 127 inches long.
Cervix piercing long.
Yeah.
Her body milked his fingers in wet spasms, harder now that her body was tense from his tongue. Her legs shot forward to wrap around his thighs as she bucked and thrashed. His cock shot forward, extruding to the length of his tentacles as they wrestled to keep his fully engorged shaft from sprouting completely. Rhea was coming hard, and he wanted to replace his fingers with his cock so he could feel her do it around that, to try and milk him for his seed, rather than his fingers that could give her nothing. He slipped a third finger inside when she was growing lax, letting her feel a taste of the girth he would give if he was to fill her.
How many fingers?
Three.
Three little thickums.
Oh, yeah, hell
his
no.
His fingers are like probably the size of a regular peeny.
He'd have to like sister to... Oh, fuck! I know! Abort! Smell the fear! Smell the fear!
I know,
right?
And she was a virgin like a week ago.
Oh, hell no. She is a virgin! She's only like a... Oh my god.
I mean, she did get fucked by like a 5 foot long tongue, but...
That's true. I wonder how wide his tongue is.
He retracted his tongue to let her breathe through her mouth rather than her nose so she could catch her breaths. How sweet.
Yeah, he's like, you can breathe.
How thoughtful. We love some breath play.
Yeah. She's like, dying. He feels her hand brush up against one of his tentacles. He tells her not to touch him, but she says she wants to. And he tells her not here. She's the only one getting pleasure tonight. And they need to get back to the Mavka. Because remember, they still have like a little third wheel hanging out with them. He's just like, yeah. 10 feet away in the woods.
He's like, guys, I can hear you.
Please stop. I'm very uncomfortable.
She turned and he helped her out of the water so she could go to her hands and knees before standing. Orpheus nearly grabbed her thigh and yanked her back in when he saw the lips of her pussy and that empty little slit he wanted to stretch open so it didn't appear so little anymore. A tremor rolled through him and he shoved his claws into the dirt, gouging and tearing into it as his tentacles nearly lost their fight to stop him from extending completely. I want to fuck her so bad. I'd kill for it.
He's like, I'm gonna make that tiny pussy fucking large.
Period.
I'm gonna
period,
make that slit a gaping hole.
He has to try and use his hands to try and shove his dick back inside himself, but it doesn't work, and he's annoyed because now he has to deal with his tentacles rubbing up against the inside of his pants. They go to sleep and the next day head to the village, and Rhea is shocked that it's beautiful and sunny. She sees a huge castle in the distance, and Orpheus tells her that it belongs to the Demon King, who is rumored to have opened up the portal for the demons to come feast on the humans, and Rhea is appalled. He warns both Rhea and the other Mavka to stay discreet and not to speak to anybody, because they're in disguise, and the demons don't really like the Duskwalkers. They kind of tolerate them, but they're like, weary. Yeah. Rhea looks around the marketplace and it seems almost human. The demons barely even look like demons, and there's stalls selling fabrics and flowers. They go to a tailor and get the Mavka a pair of pants and a shirt and a cloak, and they get Rhea a dress. Orpheus pays in crystals that he brought from home, and they go further into the market, and Rhea is starving, looking at all the delicious meats, but Orpheus shakes his head and is like, you don't want that. That's people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She's like, that kebab looks delicious, and he's like, no, you do not want to eat that.
He's mm-mm. like, that is somebody's left leg. Do you want that?
They load up with flour and herbs and oats to bring home for her to cook with. While Orpheus is deep in conversation with the Mavka, Rhea is distracted by a flash of white feathers and sees a beautiful dark-skinned woman wearing a white feathered cloak who motions for Rhea to follow her. She pulls on Orpheus to get him to come with her and goes after the strange woman who says, follow me, Rhea. I cannot be here long. She has, like, no self-preservation. Why would you follow some random woman in the demon village?
Yeah. Especially after that, like, run-in with the spider where she can, like, hear her mom and dad and her, like, little brother. Why would you follow anyone?
I would trust no one.
I feel like she's dumb like, idiot. Oh my God, she knows my name. Like, I must go.
Yeah, she knows me. She must be kind.
She's led to a bookstore, but she can't see the woman anymore. And Orpheus is fucking pissed. He tells her he thinks that she saw the witch owl and she probably wants her to find something in this store, but he needs to go back to look for the other Mavka. So Rhea convinces him to leave her here to find whatever it is she's supposed to be looking for. She follows a path of feathers on the ground to an aisle and finds two books with feathers sticking out. There's a book on sword fighting technique and another in a copy of Beauty and the Beast. And then there's also a third one on how to build a house. So she's like, oh, the witch owl wants me to buy these books, so I'm gonna take them home.
Okay.
And she thinks it's funny that there was one in the Beauty and the Beast because she's like, we're like Beauty and the Beast.
She's like, relatable.
The shopkeeper approaches her and is like, hey, you're a human. And he tells her that he doesn't want to eat her. He just wants to talk to her because he loves humans and all the books they write. He starts babbling about how interesting humans are when Orpheus walks back into the store and Rhea calls him over. They find another trail of feathers leading to a book on all types of monsters. Orpheus buys her all of the books and they leave. They get some fabric for Rhea to make herself some new clothes and they all head home. And Orpheus carries literally everything on his back and Rhea.
Because he's a king.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking king with big dick energy.
Yeah, and he carried honestly everything in his house from the demon village to his own house. Like, he has a stove that he just carried on his back.
What a man.
He's a man. I want him to help me move.
Yeah. Bringing groceries for me.
Oh my God, one trip.
A one trip only, baby. Yeah.
A few days later, they finally arrive, and Orpheus has to beat up a bunch of demons who have been squatting in their home. The three of them work together to put up new protection trinkets and carve a new salt circle. When they're done, Rhea is super happy to be back. So the cabin is finally starting to feel like home for her. She's not like, how am I going to get out of here? She's happy to be home.
Finally.
She gives the other Mavka the book on how to build houses, and he heads back to his own territory. And I believe he took over the territory of that spider demon. Like, he's like, this is vacant now. I'll make my home here. She reads Beauty and the Beast to Orpheus after a nice bath, and he passes out exhausted. And she falls asleep shortly after cuddling him. She starts to have a naughty dream about him and wakes up to his snout sniffing at her crotch because he's like, smells delicious down there.
I smell that you're all horned up.
He apologizes and she tells him that she wants to give him the gift that she made for him. And it's a beaded trinket with bells for him to put in his horns. And he loves it. His eyes turn pink and he leans in to lick her lips. And now she's hella soaked.
As she is.
They go to his bed and she gets naked and begins to undress him. But he growls and pounces on top of her. She looks down to see his bare legs for the first time and sees they both have fur and fish fins down the sides. Sexy.
Oh.
And he tells her that he wants to taste her.
Oh, she moaned quietly, her leg twitching, when he slipped that firm and wet organ over the sensitive bundles of nerves that ran down her inner thigh. The inner walls of her core clenched and spasmed erratically, making her abdomen quiver in reaction. But I have been waiting to taste you here again since that night. She knew he must have already been gazing at her folds when he'd held her leg up and spread her. When his tongue finished its path, he didn't even pause. Instead, he licked over one side of her lips to delve his tongue straight into her folds, curling his tongue around her clit.
Oh my god.
He said, bon appetit, mami.
He said, I've been waiting for this.
She's loving it, and he pushes his tongue into her all the way to her cervix again. He's just stroking her cervix.
Ugh.
And she knows she's about to come. She tries to get him to stop before she does, but he says he wants to taste her sweet nectar.
Sweet nectar. Always gets me.
She yells suddenly that she wants his cock, and he's like, what?
You want my cock?
You want it? Well, you're gonna get it. She was wet, and she thought she might burst out of her skin if she didn't get what she wanted. And she wanted this Duskwalker more than anything right now. She watched him willingly release his tentacles, untwisting and splaying them so that his cock could push through to its full length. Her eyes bowed in want at the sight of it. It's purple, and she could see every detail of it. The two nearly fist-sized bulges at the base, the girth of it as it jutted up from between his hips, that deep indent that ran from the bottom all the way to the top until it reached the mushroom head. It dipped in slightly, following that line to the slit at the top where she could see a pearl of white liquid had already formed. Those tiny soft frills that ran around the rim of his cock head that also went down three sides of him. The tentacles were wiggling in the air like they were seeking something, and she knew they just wanted something to hold. Yeah, your pussy. Your pussy.
Yeah, that punani, baby.
She begs him to fuck her, and he says that he's been preparing for this moment for a while and puts two fingers inside of her and spreads them open. Like, he just does a little peace sign in her pussy.
He's gonna need a little bit more than that, because... Yeah. You see those pictures?
Spread ya.
Yeah, that's like a full king-size Pringle can going right up in you.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like a can of Lysol wipes.
Yeah, for real.
He pulls them out and positions himself at her entrance and starts to push in, but it's excruciating and Rhea starts to scream that it won't fit. But the head pops in and the pain starts to go away. It starts to feel good and she begs him not to stop and he asks if he can move now and she says yes. He goes agonizingly slow, telling her that he can't go any faster until she accepts him. And she's confused and is like, what do you mean? And looks down to see that he's barely halfway inside of her.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm surprised she even fucking fit the head. The fuck?
Oh, God. She knew she was taking everything she could, but she wanted all of him. Every inch that was supposed to go inside. You said you'd fit. I can. He huffed and pressed a little harder, but it did nothing to make him slip in further. Deeper, she begged, feeling her pussy clenching for it. I want to feel all of your cock. He stopped his rocking motion to turn his head down to her, and she panted as she looked up. He licked at his snout, almost devilishly, his cock swelling for a moment. All of it, Rhea? He asked with that deep rumbling. You really want all of my
cock inside you? There was a heavy weight to his words. She didn't care. She squirmed, shifting her hips side to side before she grabbed his snout. She dragged it closer and pressed her lips to the tip to kiss it. I fucking want all of it, she demanded. Now, Rhea didn't do anything half-heartedly, and she hadn't started sex with him only to barely take half of his giant cock in her. If he could fit, then she fucking needed every single inch of it.
You're gonna break something.
Yeah, for real. I got fear.
I know.
He's like, I'm trying. God.
He puts his claws over her lower stomach and sinks them into her skin, and she feels a weird sensation inside of her, and he thrusts all the way into her, but it doesn't hurt.
Do you think that's why he, like, sinked his claws into her? Maybe, like, he's like, maybe this will hurt. It'll distract you.
Nope, that's not what he's doing.
Oh, okay.
It's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
But it's wrong.
Wrong. Oh, fuck yes. She tilted her hips up and down, moving him inside her pussy herself, and a full body shiver racked her. She could feel he was past her navel, could feel pressure behind it and further up as she moved. He removed his claws from her to place his hand against the bed. Your cunt is mine now. He pulled back, and she felt the long stroke of it all the way to the flared head. Then he surged forward quickly until he was buried all the way. Nothing else but me will fit inside you, my little doe. The girth of his engorged cock, the length of it, the texture of those frills tickling her insides and entrance, and the pure heat of it. Rhea didn't want anything else. Nothing else will fit inside you. Everything will fit inside you.
Yeah, I know.
But she just won't know. She won't be able to feel it.
It's like hot dog down an empty hallway.
Yep. He starts to pump into her while his tentacles hold her in place, and she has the craziest orgasm of her life.
Good, Rhea. Is this what you wanted? For me to fuck you until you wet my cock with your orgasm? Yes! She cried, her legs kicking out as she continued to milk him with blunt nails clawing. Why is he so damn naughty like this?
Why is he?
He's a naughty boy.
He is.
He lifts her up onto his face and licks all of her juices from her and tells her she's delicious. He pulls her down and thrusts back inside of her, and she comes again and begs him not to stop, and he asks if he can come inside of her.
Bitch, you better say yes.
I think she's going to.
She wrapped her legs tighter around him so he couldn't escape. Give, thrust, it, a hard slam, two, another quick thrust, me. She needed to feel that hot semen bursting inside her, knew from when she touched him how hard it came out of him, knew that he would spill more than she could handle. He engorged, and his tentacles clasped her almost painfully, making sure neither of them could pull away. He shoved in hard, deeper, pressing into her body with all his might, and then froze. He shuddered and twitched, quaking around her. He curled into her before he threw his head back and let out a deafening roar to the headboard. Rhea moaned at the first spurt, then squirmed for each one that followed. Liquid fire spread. It filled every crevice, every textured ripple, every place inside her to slowly fill up her channel. His hips rocked, just barely pushing in and out like he couldn't stop himself from moving. His hips twitched, and she could see the fins on his back had risen all the way. Oh, fuck. I swear it's about to. He rocked in, and a rope of it squeezed out of her, hitting against her clit before more bubbled behind it to drip through her folds and down the crease of her backside. Orpheus wanted to fill her with it, and he had, to the point it didn't all fit. It started dripping down her stomach before he finished.
She got overflowed. She got waterboarded.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
That's what come out her nose.
Imagine.
That's a lot of cum.
That's a lot of cum. They cuddle afterward, and Rhea knows that there's nobody else she wants to be with. His eyes turn pink again, and he asks if she's okay, and she's smitten with how sweet he is. They fall asleep together, and Orpheus wakes up before her, already hard just from smelling her mixed with his cum.
In his sleep, bombarded by different sensation, his cock had extended all the way past his tentacles that weren't holding it back. It ached in a way no human could understand. There was a reason his tentacles held his shaft back. It didn't like being uncovered for long periods of time and required the wet warmth of them, or to be buried in his slit or hers. And it stung to be unsheltered for this long without stimulation to make his lubricant seep out. He could only imagine how long he'd been this engorged and free.
He's burning. He doesn't want to take advantage of her while she's sleeping, so he attempts to shove his dick back into his seam, even though it hurts him badly to do this. Rhea wakes up and asks him why he's shaking and looks down and is like, whoa, you're horny.
You're dick.
He apologizes and she says not to be sorry. He can take her whenever he wants. And if she's not down, she'll let him know. And he is stoked.
He's like, yes, of course he is. Jackpot, baby.
Yeah. Inside. I need inside. He lifted his body enough so that he could see as he looked down the valley of their bodies. I need her cunt around me. The warm, wet, rippling well of her pussy. The well?
Mm-hmm. That's what it is now.
Honestly, it's a tunnel. He needed it to comfort him, to nurse his aching cock. He lowered his hips until the tips of his tentacles were at her entrance from behind. His jaw parted as he released a shuddering breath when they loosened just enough that his cock could start to slowly extend straight into her body. Her channel was tight, snug, and swollen, but she released a little cry of need as he inch by slow inch stretched and filled her. Oh, I can't even imagine after having like that big of a dick in you doing it again afterwards. Ah!
She's doing it. She's a tough girl.
I feel like your vagina would be like like swollen shut.
They did say it was swollen.
They did.
They do a little lazy sideways and he goes slowly thinking about how much he cares for her. His orbs begin flashing between purple from being so aroused to green, thinking to himself that she is his and he doesn't want anyone else to have her. He tells her that her pussy belongs to him and he wants to fill it every day.
Tell me I own it. Can fuck it, can give it my semen to hold, can use it to make you come and scream for me, that it is mine to pleasure you with. Her knuckles turned white as she fisted the furs of the bed, her body trembling and squirming as she started to come again, milking him in feral clamps that was demanding its due. Oh God, she cried, there are no gods in an unholy place like the Vale, Rhea. His hand around her jaw moved up so he could slip two claws and fingertips into her mouth, keeping it open so she could be louder. Now answer me.
Okay, daddy.
Dirty. Oh.
Dirty, dirty man.
Orpheus went from like sweet baby like boy scout to like daddy dom.
Real quick. She screams, yes, yes, oh God, yes. And she comes and he does as well, filling her like he promised.
Her channel filled and overflowed. He didn't give her as much as before, but his seed from earlier was still present and mingled with the new loads he gave her.
New load.
Mingled with the new. They were like, hey, we've been in here a while. Welcome.
Now it's going to start coming out of her ears.
I know.
Jeez.
Rhea wakes up late the next afternoon and looks down to see that Orpheus fell asleep inside of her and his tentacles are wrapped around her thighs. She rolls over to see that he's awake and watching her and she's like, you're still inside me. And he tells her that as long as his dick is in something warm and wet, it'll just hang out there for however long. He asks her about the scar behind her ear and she tells him how some of the village men threw rocks at her and one hit her in the head. They were extremely cruel to her and Orpheus's orbs turned red and he offers to kill them for her and she legitimately considers it. He gets up to get her some food and she says she wants to take a bath, but he says that can wait because he likes her covered in his seed. And she's like, ew, but okay. I'd feel dirty. I'd want a bath. I'd be crusty.
No. Especially because she like slept in it too.
Yeah.
Ugh. Crusty, crusty girl.
While he's gone, she starts to think about how happy and fulfilled she feels here and thinks about maybe giving him her soul, but she's nervous. After she eats her berries, they take a bath and she starts to ask questions about the woman who lived here before. Rhea wants to know why she didn't give Orpheus her soul, and he doesn't want to talk about it, but caves and says that he met her 200 years ago while he was hunting and eating humans. She wasn't afraid of him, so he didn't eat her and brought her to the Vale. He built her this house and did everything she asked of him and brought her everything she wanted, and she even gave him his name, but when he asked for her soul, she said no.
Bitch.
She is a fucking bitch. One day, he took her to the demon village, and the demon king saw her and offered for her to come with them and leave Orpheus. She told Orpheus she hated him and went to live in the demon village with the king. Rhea is heartbroken for him, and Orpheus asks her if she's going to leave too, and she says no, she wants to stay with him. They spend the next few days banging almost constantly, and eventually Rhea has to tap out and go to sleep in her own room just to catch a break, because goddamn.
Yeah, I'm sure her pussy be hurting.
The day after that, she practices training with her sword using techniques from the book the Witch Owl picked out, and she's even good enough to hit Orpheus now. When she's getting ready to head back, she turns and sees a man watching her from outside the
salt circle. He's tall and human looking, aside from pointed ears and two large horns.
I don't like that.
She asks who he is, and he tells her that his name is Jabez.
Boo.
He says that he's come to offer her a chance at escaping the Mavka, and she says she's not interested, but he comes right through the salt circle and grabs her, saying he's going to take her to his castle. And now she knows that this is the Demon King, and he rips off her amulet and teleports them away. So she was kidnapped.
No!
Yeah. As soon as Orpheus gets the scent of the Demon King, he sprints to the yard, but they're already gone. He sees her amulet on the ground, and immediately his mind starts racing that she was either stolen or went willingly, and both make him incredibly upset. He transforms into his demon beast form, sprinting towards the Demon King's castle, and he's so angry that he makes it there in one day instead of four.
Damn, he's fucking cruising.
He's in beast mode?
Yeah, he is.
Meanwhile, Rhea is trapped in the throne room of the Demon Castle with Jabez and a human woman covered in jewelry. And her name is Katarina, and she is Orpheus's ex.
Boo!
Boo, boo, boo. Tomato, fucking tomato, boo. Tomato.
Whore.
Fuck you. Yeah, slut.
You fucking two-timing hussy.
She is a hussy. Jabez tells her that they've been using a magic ball to do surveillance on Orpheus's territory, and they take all of his human offerings just to watch him suffer when they're gone. I know, what fucking assholes.
That's so fucked up.
It's like, what's what we do to pass the time? Watch Orpheus cry.
He's like, hey, there's not much to do.
But they can't see into the house, and Rhea is relieved that they haven't watched the two of them fuck. Rhea decides to be smart and play the damsel in distress to try and escape, and she lets Katarina lead her to the room they've prepared for her, and Katarina insists that Rhea take a bath to wash all evidence of Orpheus off of her. Because Katarina's like, I know when I got here, I was like so disgusted with myself, and you must be so disgusted with yourself, so take a bath.
Fuck off, Katarina.
Rhea takes as long as she can in the bath, and when she gets back to her room, she sees that Katarina is sitting on her bed, obviously watching her, expecting Rhea to change in front of her. And Rhea's like, fuck it, and drops her towel, and Katarina sees the scars on her stomach and is like, you had sex with Orpheus. Because she knows, because she fucked Orpheus too.
She's like, that dick's been inside me first.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking hate this bitch.
She's the fucking worst. Rhea asks how she's still alive after 200 years, and she says that Jabez is keeping her alive with his magic, and Rhea asks why she didn't just bond herself to Orpheus for eternal life, and Katarina's like, ew, because he's a Duskwalker. Rhea just goes along with it because she wants to gain her trust and find a way to escape, and it's like, yeah, ew, a Duskwalker, nasty. The next morning, she's summoned to breakfast with Jabez and Katarina, and we learn that Jabez came to this world through a portal from a world where demons eat elves, and he's half of each species. He created the portal and brought the demons with him to eat the humans and eventually go back to take over the elves. So he like hates the elves because when the elves found out that he was half elf, half demon, they basically like dissected him while he was alive to study him because he's the only one that ever existed. So he fucking hates the elves. He brought the demons through this portal to build an army and go back and take over the elf kingdom.
I'm just picturing like little elves.
No, they're big elves. They're tall. They're like Duskwalker height.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like Santa's elves.
No, not Santa's elves. You get more of the elves further into the series.
Oh.
He created the entire Vale to grow his army and go through with his plans. Suddenly, Jabez stops his rambling and is like, the Mavka's here. And Katarina is stoked, saying that she's going to kill him. And Rhea's like, you can kill a Duskwalker. And Jabez tells her that the only way to do it is to break their skull. Jabez can sense Rhea's fear now and is like, why are you afraid of us talking about killing the Duskwalker? And Katarina is like, you don't care for him, do you? Did you willingly have sex with him? And Rhea's like, well, actually, I begged for his cock.
Slay, Rhea.
She's owning it now.
Get it. Get it.
And she says, tentacles and all. And Jabez says that she's going to have to die now. Katarina says, no, Rhea will watch her kill Orpheus, and then they'll decide what to do with her. And Rhea calls her a selfish bitch. So Katarina slaps her and says that Rhea is just a replacement for her, and Orpheus is and always will be hers. So she hates him, but she's also like, he's mine.
Work, no, because she just fucking sucks.
She sucks.
She does suck.
Jabez grabs Rhea and makes them invisible and soundproof so he can force her to watch Orpheus die and then eat her when it's all over. Orpheus bursts into the room and looks around but can only see Katarina. He asks where Rhea is, and Katarina says she left with the Demon King and replaced her, and she starts to say she's so sorry for everything, and the Demon King tricked her and she wants to come back to live with Orpheus. She sees the trinket in his horns that Rhea made and is like, this is ugly, and rips it off.
Fuck her.
And then Orpheus is like, no, no, bitch.
My trinket. I love that trinket.
My girlfriend made that for me.
Right?
Now he's pissed and he's like, where the fuck is Rhea? I don't want you. Tell me where she is. And then all of a sudden, Rhea appears out of thin air and is running at Katarina and tackles her to the ground. And a dagger falls out of Katarina's hand that she was hiding. And it was obvious she was about to stab Orpheus right in the skull with it.
Slay.
Dirty, dirty bitch.
And Orpheus is like, this bitch was gonna fucking kill me. And Jabez is keeled over yelling that Rhea bit him and kicked him right in the seam. So she like attacked Jabez. And then he was like, oh fuck. And then she started just booking it towards Katarina.
Right in the seam.
Yes, Rhea. We love Rhea.
We do. Orpheus and Jabez start to tussle and Orpheus gets a couple bites in, but Jabez keeps disappearing and reappearing all around the room. And they've fought numerous times before in the past and it's always completely a draw. Nobody can win. They just fight until they're like, okay, I'm tired. And then rinse and repeat.
They're like, call it even.
Yep.
See you next time.
Simultaneously, Rhea and Katarina are in the middle of a sword fight and Jabez is distracted by Rhea stabbing Katarina right through the chest. So rest in peace.
Bye, bitch.
Rest in piss.
Yeah.
Night-night.
Orpheus jumps on Rhea to shield her as Jabez goes to attack her and Jabez says that she killed his human and now he wants to make it even. He throws a dagger at them, hitting Rhea, who cries out in pain and blood starts pouring out of her. Somehow Orpheus procures a magical shield around them so Jabez can't reach them and kill her. And Jabez thinks it's funny and says, with all the blood, Orpheus will go into a frenzy and eat Rhea. And Rhea tells him it's okay if he does and he can find another human. But he says he doesn't want another human. He only wants her.
He only wants Rhea.
But she's like, you can eat me. It's fine. I get it. Just eat me.
She's like, this shit hurts, please.
Then Rhea asks how to give him her soul. She knows she wants to be with him forever and what they have is real. And Orpheus tells her she just has to want to give it to him, and then she feels a burning in her chest. And then a tiny Rhea made of fire starts to come out of her, and Orpheus sniffs it before opening his mouth and just chowing down on it. She tells him that she loves him, and his orbs turn pink, and then everything goes black for her. Her heart stops, and Orpheus is terrified, thinking maybe he wasn't supposed to eat her soul, but he just felt like the overwhelming urge to do it, so he did it. But he's like, oh fuck, she died, so maybe I wasn't supposed to do that.
Whoopsie.
But it just looks so yummy.
And then Rhea just disintegrates into ash in front of him.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, she's just a pile of ashes.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The end. And that's the end.
It's not. I have more highlights. I know you're lying to me.
And Jabez is just like sitting on his throne watching all of this happen. And he's like, that was weird, but it looks like we both don't have humans now. So that sucks. And Orpheus loses his shit and goes after Jabez absolutely feral and bites his arm off. And Jabez is like, whoa, stop. And tells Orpheus to leave. He's like, get the fuck out of my castle. You just bit my arm off. Not cool.
He's like, please leave.
That was now very I have
one
rude.
Arm.
You are a horrible house guest.
I cannot no, believe you did
guy,
that.
Fuck that guy, though. He's just been, fuck that guy.
It's for
he
real.
He should have fucking bit his dick off.
Truly. But he'd have to, like, open it through the seam and, like, pull it out. It sounds like a whole thing.
Yeah, you're right. Ain't nobody want to unravel those rosebuds.
No. Mm-mm. Jabez opens a portal and kicks Orpheus through it. So he quite literally kicks Orpheus out of his house. Orpheus gets up and he's in his own yard. He goes back inside and everything feels quiet and empty without Rhea. And he looks around for her, but it's obvious she's not there. He starts running through the forest looking for her and he swears he can hear her calling his name. And he's like frantic at this point, like half out of his mind, running around looking for her. But he like can hear her calling his name. But like, is it real? I don't know.
Poor guy. He's going through it.
He really is.
He just thinks that he's like hallucinating her at this point.
Rhea wakes up super confused in the middle of the forest and she doesn't feel any pain from her stab wound. And she looks down at her hands and she's transparent and floating. She starts yelling for Orpheus when she sees him, but he can't hear her. And she thinks to herself how badly she wants her body back. And then she turns solid only to be instantly attacked by a demon and it rips out her throat and starts to eat her alive. And then all of a sudden she's floating and transparent again.
What's happening?
She starts to chase Orpheus, who's running frantically through the trees, but she can't get in front of him long enough to go solid again or to, like, get his attention. Then she sees a white owl flying next to her. It lands in front of Orpheus, causing him to stop running, and it's the witch owl.
We love the witch owl. She's such a sweetie.
Rhea floats in front of him and tells him she's here, but she can't turn solid in the forest because it's too dangerous, because she literally, like, went solid for half a second and died. He's really confused, and he doesn't believe she's real at first, but she tells him to
meet her at home and she'll turn solid for him. They get home and she gets a good look at Orpheus, who has her spirit floating in between his horns, sleeping comfortably, and she turns back into a physical form. He runs and grabs her, apologizing for letting her die, but she tells him it isn't his fault and now she can be with him forever. He says he wants to be inside of her, and she tells him he has to catch her first, and turns back into a phantom and he chases her around the house. So a little haunting Adeline action.
I was like, what is she now? Like, what is she?
She's a phantom.
Okay. So she's dead?
Kind of. Yeah. But she's like alive. I'm alive, but I'm dead.
So like, I think it's because Orpheus has her soul. If she dies, he has her soul. She can't ever truly die.
No, her life is tied to his.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
She runs out to the yard where he tackles her and softly says her name. So he's feeling like very emotional and like fragile at this point. And she turns back into a phantom and says that if he's not in her pussy, then he doesn't get to keep her. And she is not matching his energy at all. He's like very sad. And she's like, get in my pussy. I know. He's like, I just want to cuddle.
She's like, I know I just died, but I want that dick daddy.
Yeah.
He just wants a hug.
Yeah, he needs a hug. He just
wants a hug. And she's like, nope.
She is not reading the room.
She floats to the back of the house and turns solid, and she's hella soaked. So this game is very fun for her. And Orpheus jumps off the roof and onto her, and he rips her clothes off and thrusts into her. So he's like, I'll play by your rules. Now he's in her.
Orpheus started to thrust, sending tingles through her. She cried lightly on each one as she felt the shape of him and those frills tickling her insides. His cock felt sublime, pressing and digging everywhere she needed him.
Every time I hear sublime, I just think of Sublime! Barbie movie.
Oh.
I don't know. Never mind.
Stupid. I didn't see it, but I'm sure it was really
you
good.
You didn't see it?
Oh, you should. Sublime!
He was moving steadily inside her, pushing deep, his tentacle rubbing back over the nub of her clit, but it wasn't enough.
She tells him she wants more, but he tells her to be quiet because of how on edge he is and he doesn't want to hurt her.
Stop hesitating, Orpheus, she yelled, lifting her head so she could speak while panting. What is with the fucking panting? There's so much in this
She's
book.
A little doggy.
I'm yours. I'm not going to go away. I'm not going to disappear. Hurt me. Claw me. Fucking bite me. I want you to. I want you to give me everything. I want your cock pounding into me. What more do I have to do to get you to let go with me? The threat of tears stung her eyes. She wanted him to thrust into her like he was swept over by a madness. She wanted him so much she didn't care if he ripped her in two by the end, broke her apart, fucked her to death. She'd come back to him, would stay with him. She really, really wants to fuck. And he's like, chill.
I'm very sad. Chill. I'm feeling a little blue.
Let me get my emotions in check.
He roars and finally lets go, giving her what she wants.
His tentacle slipping over her clit, rubbing and stroking it with its little nodules, had her near weeping at the feeling. Yes, she tried to say with her lack of air, just like that, don't stop. Somehow, he went faster, and her legs kicked out. It was like she was trying to crawl forward, to get away and escape, as her orgasm took her by the reins and drowned her. Crying out, she wrung his cock with heavy, wet spasms as she lost herself to him. His snarls, his grunts, this strange purr sound mixed in with it, ached her mind. It was torture, and it was bliss. Rhea had found heaven in the veil, and it was given to her by the cock of a duskwalker that was fucking her into oblivion.
Period. Love that for her.
Beautiful.
He keeps fucking her, and she is delirious at this point.
His thrust sounded wetter, like a constant sucking sound as his cock moved within her pussy, stirring her and her orgasms around. They squelched. An acute whine came from him before he shoved himself in deep while pulling her on him. Burrowing into her so hard and deep, it made her back arch downwards under its force. She knew he'd cut her with his claws when she felt pain and the welling of blood, but she barely felt it as he filled her so completely she could feel the bulges of his embedded sack right at her entrance, as if they too were trying to push in.
He just puts his balls in her.
When she felt his hot semen pouring into her, his cock swelling over and over to match them. Quick, heavy bursts invaded every inch of her swiftly, making her legs tremble at the feeling of it spreading through her. He started pumping lightly like he didn't want to stop, and it made the thick liquid inside her squelch before it seeped out of her. It felt so good.
So much squelching.
So much. Very wet.
I think of like macaroni in a pot, like squelch.
He holds her and eventually asks asks her to make him a new trinket and apologizes that Katarina broke the old one. And Rhea says, of course she will, and she's glad that she killed her.
Me too.
Yeah, we're all glad, Rhea. They go back inside and lay together in bed, and Orpheus tells her that he doesn't feel hungry for flesh now, that he has her soul. And she tells him he's beautiful, and he's touched because he thinks he looks like a monster. And she's like, I'll show you how beautiful I think you are. She reaches into his seam and grabs his flaccid dick, and he says that feels strange but nice. And it starts to get hard coming out of his body. She straddles him and pushes it into herself, and he's so big she has to stand on her feet to move up and down.
Good grief. I like this, Rhea, he said, licking her everywhere he could reach while she let him, as she focused on moving for them both. I get to see you, and your face looks so good while you use my cock. He licked inside her mouth by slipping his tongue past her parted lips. It folded and swirled, tasting everything from her tongue, her teeth, her cheeks, and even the roof of her mouth, like he wanted to steal all her saliva. She moaned as she lost herself to this. Her body started to clamp him in spasms, seeking the slow release she was giving herself. Don't stop moving, he groaned. He looked down to where she was riding him, and his claws dug a little deeper as he watched himself disappearing into her channel. Your cunt feels so good moving on me. I like that you want to do this to me, to fuck yourself with my cock. I want to feel you come around me while you do this. Like you want to milk me for my seed yourself.
Yeah.
She milking that cock.
Yeah, she is.
She tells him she loves him, everything about him. And his orbs turn pink. And she says she thinks that that means that he loves her too. And he says yes, he loves her very deeply. They fuck the rest of the night. And Rhea wakes up late the next day and finds a white feather sitting on the windowsill. She goes outside to grab it and sees a woman at the edge of the trees wearing a white feathered cloak. Rhea approaches her, and it's obvious it's the witch owl. And Rhea says it's nice to finally meet her. And then we learn that the witch owl is technically Orpheus's mother.
Plot twist.
Sweet.
Mommy witch owl. And the witch owl is a phantom just like Rhea. She tells Rhea that unless she wants to get pregnant with the Duskwalker, she needs to have Orpheus do a spell on her. And Rhea's like, yeah, okay, because I definitely don't want to get pregnant with the Duskwalker baby.
No.
No, it sounds horrible.
That'd be a bay-ass baby.
And the witch owl is like, okay, that's all I wanted to tell you. Bye. And Rhea goes inside to eat and makes a new trinket for Orpheus. And then she starts her period, hella stoked that she's not pregnant with a little Duskwalker. So that's a convenient time to get your period.
Perfect.
Which sucks because you're like a phantom, but you still get your period for forever.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, I would hate that. She tells Orpheus what the witch owl said and tells him she won't let him come in her until he does the spell. And he's bummed, but he's like, okay, I guess. She gives him his new trinket and he's super happy. And he thinks to himself that Rhea is the perfect human for him. The end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Opal, I love you.
Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I would give this one 4.
Okay.
And a half.
And a four and half.
Spicy.
It was good. Spicy. But I don't know if I was really getting into Orpheus.
Oh. Well, I guess this next question will be disappointing. But do you find Orpheus sexy?
Okay.
Was it the picture that threw you off?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I had to get a visual of what he looked like anyway. But his personality is what I feel like saves him, you know?
He's a great personality. That's fine. There's like 7 other Duskwalkers you can choose from.
Okay. Maybe I just need like a different skull, like a different animal skull.
Yeah.
We like a variety.
Yeah, we love it. They all do have different skulls. So, all right. So next week, we're going to be telling Riley all about Hooked by Emily McIntyre. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Is this another one like a Peter Pan?
Perchance.
I think it's going to be about Hook. Oh, it is a Never After novel. We have a clock on the cover with some like lips, little lipstick lips. And I think that Hook is going to be fighting some lost boys and finding his long-lost love.
Beautiful.
And he's gonna fuck her.
Yep.
All night long.
Yeah.
Stunning.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/smutupandlisten to get ad-free episodes 2 days early. And you can check out mine and Riley's new love child.
Yeah.
the podcast of Unfortunate Events, where we'll be doing a weekly deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Yeah. Come join us.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
And tell your friends, not your mom, but we'll see you later, you horny little rat.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.